Welcome back, folks, to the Mailwright Show. This is episode 449. In this show, we've got a special guest. We haven't got Robert. He's flown off somewhere to get away from me, folks. But he should be back next week. But we've got a great special guest. We've got Sammy Di Stefano. I've done well there. I normally totally destroy our guest names. That's why I asked Robert to pronounce them, not me. My ability to make an idiot of myself is famous, but I think I've done reasonably well. In this episode, folks, we're going to have a great interview. Sammy is a great agent. I've watched some of his previous interviews. He's got a lot of knowledge. He's been very successful in his career. He has a lot of background in sales. I think you're going to learn a lot from the interview. So, Sammy, would you like to quickly introduce yourself to the listeners and viewers?
Sure. Thanks for having me again. I am located in the U.S. in Scottsdale and Phoenix, Arizona area. So as hot as you can get when being in the States.
Hell's Kitchen. I've got a few friends that live in,
oh, do you?
Near yeah. to you, and I every time I speak to them, I says, "What's it like in Hell's Kitchen?"
They say it's a dry heat, right? Yeah, I think it's 117 degrees today. I grew up here, so I've been here most of my life. But yeah, I've been in the real estate industry for about 5 years now, and previous I was in sales and management in BMW for about 6 years. Altogether, I mean, I've always been in some sort of commission job, so I'm thankful for that. I've only had one experience.
So why did you decide to move away from BMW into the world of real estate? What attracted you? Was it the, you know...
I hate to have everyone's answer, but COVID. You know, the car business was something I enjoyed at the time. However, it's a bittersweet thing. It's very long hours, a lot of competing, even with your fellow, coworkers, and you just have to kind of get in where you fit in. When I got into real estate, nothing attracted me into real estate. I wasn't really attracted to it. I ended up getting my license because I was really passionate about following some of what Dave Ramsey was talking about, you know, purchasing real estate, getting out of debt at the time. So he taught me how to follow a budget and how to not take on more debt than I can handle. And I thought a real estate license would be helpful in that endeavor. And then it turned into a career.
Yeah, it's a good career. If you've got the right, I think even now it's a fabulous career. If you've got the right mindset and work ethic. I don't think it's easy. I don't think anything worth doing is easy.
Never. Yeah.
So you were from a background of sales. Do you know that must have helped? You know,
it did.
You know, and you're working with a premier dealership, BMW, which has its good points and its bad points. Sure. But you're used to dealing with clientele that are in the kind of middle class, upper class. If they can,
that's what I thought too.
Is that delusionary statement I've just come out?
Yeah. Well, you know, it's what everyone thinks, right? It's a BMW. They do make $100,000 to $150,000 in U.S. dollar cars, but they also sell $20,000 cars. Cheaper than Hondas. Used BMW can be cheaper than like a new Honda. So, we had people making $20,000 a year all the way up to about $2 million a year, I think, purchasing BMWs. So that was interesting. I definitely got to meet different people. You know, I would say this is so interesting, Jonathan. I've never thought about this until you asked. In BMW, the sales I was learning there was more old school car sales. And so it was, you know, the Ben Franklin clothes and trying to show people the pros and the cons and how to make more pros so that they purchased a product. And then in real estate, I would say it's not quite that way. I thought it was in the beginning. I thought my job was to talk you into purchasing or selling a home, you know, why give your money to your landlord when you can own type thing. And a lot of agents, I think, get stuck there and they always are in that mindset. And what I realize now is, I guess I don't enter the picture at all to talk you into doing something. I find that when you're ready, I'm pretty good at it. And so I would say it's less sales and real estate and more client communication and not forgetting about people, following up and being there when they're ready. So it's a little bit of a different, it's a nuanced part of sales.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What would normally happen if Robert was here? See, Robert would have checked all your production figures over the last 5 years. I can't be bothered. I watched some of your previous interviews.
In that case, I've sold 5 million homes this month. Yeah. And
I'm not that interested in your latest production figures to some degree, as Robert would have, but he would have checked everything. But I did watch some of your previous interviews, and I was impressed with your attitude. Because you strike me as somebody that's efficient, but not, you don't come across as too intense, if you understand. You seem to have the right kind of vibe. What's a couple, you know, if you could go back and mentor yourself at the beginning, the first couple years of your career, because you, like you say, you're in your fifth, sixth year. I think you're doing reasonably well. It's an interesting market would be the understatement. But it's been an interesting 4 years, really, hasn't it? In the real estate market, to say the least, hasn't it?
With the timing that I've gotten into the market, this is interesting. Every single year, including the first year I got in, agents, clients, and brokers alike have all told me, this is the worst year to be in real estate. You're going to have to learn how to, you know, this is probably the toughest market we've ever seen. And they've said that every single year as different markets. So I started in a market where there was really not enough inventory and too much interest. So every home turned into a bidding war here in Arizona. I think the record for Arizona was a home sold for $300,000 over asking, with no inspection or due diligence in cash, you know, which I...
Well, if they're paying cash, it's a difference.
Yeah.
I would still think it's bonkers myself. But if you're borrowing the money, I think it's really bonkers.
It's really bonkers. Well, they did that too. So, and now we're in a market where, you know, there's so much inventory and not enough interest. And so now I really have to sell the pros and the cons and, you know, go through the home and how it was built and talk down about the competition and, you know, all of this new strategy comes into play. And I really love that because I'm learning. Nothing's become stale. But if I were to mentor myself, that was the question. You and I could talk too easily. I think I would have gone back and just told myself that, you know, to enjoy it and that it's all going to work out. Because the reality is when I got in, there's several different ways to do real estate and there's several different coaching companies that teach each way. And I learned one way, which was cold calling, prospecting, learning how to communicate really well, whether I was in front of you or on the phone. Some agents are amazing at the numbers, but they're just no bedside manner. They can't speak to you. And back then I thought my way was the best way and the only way. And what I've learned now is there are so many different ways that are successful. So I was trying to be the best, but there's no best.
I've got my business number, but it goes through to my mobile number basically, and I use a virtual exchange. And if I don't recognize the number and they're not prepared to leave a voice message, it gets deleted basically.
Absolutely.
So do you think really, so I'm biased, but I am, but there's older groups, different groups of people that probably do have landlines. So do you think,
oh yeah,
like calling for leads, calling for checks, do you think
I'm a little more specific? It's a really good question, because there's groups of thought that are just repeated, right? And then people believe them even if they haven't experienced it themselves. So like within my industry, the agents that learn the same way that I learned calling for business, they've gotten really good at calling and talking to you. But if you don't pick up, nothing happens, right? And the numbers have changed over the years. So like the governments and T-Mobile and Verizon have been trying to crack down on spam calls, which I really appreciate, because no one gets more spam calls than a salesperson, right? We get hundreds a day. And what I'm finding is the specific people I'm calling are specifically people that fired their agent recently because they were doing a poor job, or specifically canceling their contract because something was missed and they were disappointed with how the job was done. And so these are people that it's not a decent call, right? Because they're upset.
Well, that's really what I was going to say. You call the bitter, don't you? The disillusioned and the bitter.
And they're happy to talk. They want to talk to someone, right? And they don't want to talk to an agent.
Well, you got a good bedside manner, as I would say. So I can see why they might decide that they're just going to tell you all your... I can see you as a doctor, actually, with a bedside manner. That's a bit of English humour there. So, yeah.
I think you'll like that. Sometimes I get a response on the phone, right? When they're bitter and they say, I hate all agents and they're all idiots. Why don't you lose my number, right?
The polite version you're at that moment?
Yeah, it's filtered, censored. And back in the day, I would say, no, but I'm different. I'm good at the job and all this. I would try to sell through it. And now I say, I know. I hate them too. And if you hate them, think about how many I have to work with, right? And so you inherently laugh. And then your next thought, I think, as the client is, who the hell is this? Right? Like, he's making fun of agents and he's on my level. He's not trying to sell me. And I think that's, honestly, I think that's a big reason why people hire me, because they can't listen to you until they know that you've listened to them. And so when you try to talk over people, right, almost like I just did, you were talking and I went back.
Well, I'm terrible. I think I've got a bit bad. But I'm terrible because I can put about five different concepts in one sentence. And then I expect the person to remember the five concepts that I've put in the very long-winded sentence. And of course, I've lost them after the second concept because they're just normal.
And, have you kept up with where you are? Have you lost yourself?
Oh, yeah. I'm a total hypocrite, but there we go. Aren't we all? Most of us are. So I think you've hinted. So you basically, the core of your lead generative engine is observing people that have junked their agent or taken their house off market.
Right.
You have a process where they get onto your radar, and is that your main lead generative morphology? Is that correct?
Yeah, I would say so. Yeah. I'm trying every single day. I'm changing more of what I'm doing. I'm trying to bring the people back into sales. My industry is probably one of the worst. And then the second worst is probably the car business. Everyone becomes a transaction. So like there's a script that they taught me back in the day. When you sell a house, you call the neighbors and say, hey, Jonathan, I just sold a house. Do you want to sell yours? Or I just sold your neighbor's house. It's a five bedroom, $600,000. Do you want to sell yours? There's no people. So you hang up. And I had so much trouble with those calls. Now I say, Jonathan, Sammy, with Russline Sotheby's, I'm not sure if you know Barbara and David, they decided it's time to see the grandkids. They hired us 3 weeks ago. They're about to, they'll be back to their family in about a week. And I wanted to know if you had any plans of already moving coming up. It's just like you hear the neighbors' names and you're listening to why they did something. And I think in your mind, the client's mind, they're thinking, that's something I would do too. It's been a while since I've seen my grandkids, you know, and emotion comes back in. And then some emotion will make us act. Money will never make us act. So I had that backwards in the beginning.
Yeah, I think that's well observed. We're going to go for our middle break, folks. Sammy has been laughing at my jokes. Well, I think they're jokes. Yeah. I'm missing my co-host, Robert. He keeps me in line, listeners and viewers, but like I say, he swanned off for the week. Now he's visiting some relatives. But it's been a great chat so far. We've got some great topics to discuss in the second half. We will be back in a few moments, folks.
Do you want quality leads from homeowners and buyers right in your own neighborhood? Then you need MailRight. It is a powerful but easy to use online marketing system that uses Facebook to generate real estate leads at a fraction of the cost you'd pay from our competition. We stand behind our work with a no question asked 30-day money back guarantee. So don't delay. Get started today. Go to mail-right.com.
We're coming back. I've had a great discussion so far with Sammy. He seems very confident and relaxed. He seems to know where he's going. I can feel it. He's very focused, but he's got a calming persona about himself, which I don't have. I'm not bitter. So, so let's go on. So what about digital marketing? Because I'm biased. First of all, I would never hire a relative or a friend or somebody that I've got some kind of close relationship to be my agent, because it's the one way of losing. Going in business with a relative or a friend is the quickest way, based on my experience, to lose that relative and lose that friend, because buying and selling a house is probably one of the biggest stressful things that a normal individual that's not in business is probably ever going to do in their life. And the last thing you want is your relative or friend involved in it. So that makes me odd already, because the amount of people that just hire a friend or somebody. Secondly, right. I would check you out. I would see, I would expect a decent website, not something that your broker has given you. I would look at your social media. I would check out what people are saying about you. And I would do some basic research before I phoned you. What's your attitude about what your online presence is like and around digital marketing in general? Yeah.
You would be the minority in all of those thoughts, but I agree with them. I might be the only agent you ever have on that'll agree with a friend or a family should never work with.
Terrible idea. Terrible.
My digital presence, I think the digital presence makes a big difference. However, there's always a caveat. The car business taught me that 99% of what you read online and see is not actually true, right? Because you can pay for it.
I never do that, Sammy.
Yeah, but, so like,
I read or watch on YouTube, I believe it totally.
Must be true, especially if it comes from John.
If you can see it, it must be true, mustn't it?
Yeah, that's right. Well, our world, I think, does handle things like that. With that knowledge, like back in the car business, they would put out one weekend, they'd put a special pay program where we get $50 per review left on the dealership's website. So we'd call our friends or family, a few buddies that have never experienced the business that we work for, and leaving 5-star reviews. So I know agents do that more than anyone else in the world. So you can't trust reviews, but I do still ask my clients for reviews. So I think I'm looking at mine right now. So I've got five stars overall and 149 Google reviews. And then there's only 100 different websites, right? that also do reviews. I think that's important. When I ask, if you were to hire me and I helped you with the property, Jonathan, I would ask you for a review. I'd also caveat it with, just so you know, when other people are going to hire me and they're checking me out, reading a review, they don't care if you say 5 stars, guy was great. They want the story. They want like the meat and the potatoes. They want the story. So especially when they fired their past agent or they had a really bad experience initially, they're really happy to put full reviews, all the details. And I think people can see that those are real. Those weren't left by a friend. The website, I truly don't think websites matter. I hate going onto websites these days because every website, I think it matters that
you have. I did like you, Sammy, but now
I know.
I'm starting to not warm to you, Sammy.
We can be different, but friends. I think this.
Oh, I love that. That was sweet. Thank you for that, Sammy.
I think you need to have a website if you're a business that's going to attract people to work with you, because you almost feel illegitimate if you don't have a website. However, with websites, I don't know if you have this experience. Every website I go on now, right when I start getting interested in it, even Phoenix News, I have to put my name and email in to see the rest of it. And I feel like that gives me a bad sales feeling, like, and then they all reach out to you. So I've stopped using websites. I post photos. Probably the most impactful thing I've done for my online presence is when you do hire me, a lot of times I'll ask your permission to say, hey, I want to take a video so I don't forget what you say and maybe I can share it with other clients. But what caused you to hire me today? And then I turn like a selfie and I take a video of us standing right there. And you share, well, you showed up in a suit. You were 15 minutes early. The other guy was late. You said this and it made me feel comfortable or confident. So that's what I've done. I've received client phone calls where they say, I saw your video and I listened to 4 people tell me the reasons they hired me. And those are the reasons I would hire you. So I would like to hire you. Blew my mind.
Yeah, I think the other thing is, if you don't mind me asking, last year, how many homes did you actually sell?
In what time? Last year. I'll say last year was a transition. I moved from North Carolina. I was there for 6 months and I came back. Right, so that affected it. But yeah, between 30 and 40 sales, if we're counting the homes I was hired to sell, as well as the clients I was hired to help buy.
Well, that's nothing to be unhappy about. I think you've done really well, but I think when you start getting those volumes, I think the main thing for agents is consistent quality, because I think agents can get very overwhelmed, and even if they've got the right work ethic and the right attitude, the quality becomes patchy. And they're not aware that it's getting patchy. They're just trying to deal with the deal flow the best they can.
Yeah.
Have you been there yourself where my quality of service is as good as I think it was? And how have you effectively dealt with that yourself?
My second year in the business, absolutely. I was just trying to get hired as often as possible. I was doing everything myself. I think your co-host would appreciate this. I also like statistics. So like the numbers in Arizona, there's 50,000 licensed individuals that can sell real estate. So far this year, there was 9,870 or 80 individuals that have even sold one property or more. So now we have, 90% of people are not even utilizing their license. And so the 10% that are actually, and that would be 20%, the 20% that are, most of them that I know personally, they don't want to, I don't think they've learned that sometimes you have to spend 5,000 to make 10. So today, like this year, I have Jenny. You spoke with Jennifer to set this up. She's a full-time, she's not per transaction, she's a full-time, only my business assistant, and that was really scary to take on a salary. But as soon as I did it, maybe 1 or 2 months in, I realized I should have been doing this years ago, because my best use is speaking with people. And so much of this job is paperwork, dotting I's, crossing T's, making sure we're compliant with the state. I don't need to be touching that. I review it and I approve it, but I don't need to fill it out. And so I'm just lucky to have really, I found really amazing people. She's been in the business a long time, just very sharp. And her, as well as my broker, none of my paperwork ever goes out incorrectly. She'll do emails. She'll talk with individuals like you, right, to set things up like this. And then I show up. I'm the speaker. And that feels weird to me. But my clients have told me that they prefer it.
I know this is a strange question, because your assistant approached me and I checked you out and I thought, we have like experts in particular specialities that might interest real estate agents, and then we do have the odd agent on that seems a good communicator like yourself.
Okay.
But why did you want to come on this show? Because it's aimed at other real estate agents. Do you want me asking why? No, I think it's been a great interview. We've got another 5-10 minutes and then we're going to wrap it up. But I think we've covered some interesting stuff. But what was the main reason why you decided to come on here, actually, Sammy?
It's a fantastic question. I do these things to learn how to better communicate. So like someone like yourself, how many episodes do you have?
We've done, and I might add, Robert is a newbie. Robert's only done 150 shows with me. I've been doing this for about 6 years, and we're on show, this is show 449.
Wow. Well, first, congrats. I've watched your content. I think you're funny. You're sharp. Your co-host is good.
He's very American, isn't he? He's very intense, Robert. I'm a bit more relaxed, aren't I?
Absolutely. Yeah. I had a coach back in the day tell me, he said, you can steal people's knowledge and they're actually willing to give it to you. So I haven't done 449 episodes of a podcast. You have. And when I watch your podcast, I think the content is usually very good, but I'm watching how you're speaking. I'm listening to the tonality you're using when you're telling a joke, when you're asking a question. A lot of that's, I pay coaches even today to teach me all of that. But the reason I do that, the reason I make hundreds of phone calls a day and a week, is because it's when it's finally game time and I'm sitting in front of a client in their house being interviewed for the job of selling the home or to be hired in any manner, I'm sharp. Because I'm doing it all the time. And I found in the first year or two of real estate, agents actually only interview about 10 times a year, statistics, and they only get hired about 3 to 4 times a year. They only sell 3 to 4 houses a year in Arizona. It's like 90.
I wouldn't hire the top producer in my area.
Yeah.
But I wouldn't hire, I've got to be truthful, I'm not going to mislead. I don't think I've ever done that to our audience. I would not hire somebody that's just got 1 to 4 transactions a year. I would be looking for the middle person.
Yeah.
I would expect them, where I disagree with you, I would expect them to have a website. I do agree with what you said about, I've had these discussions with agents that wanted a logic gate on their website. You know, they had IDX, but after 4 or 5 searches, you've got to give them, and I'm totally against that. I think offering a lead magnet that has some real value.
Yeah.
And asking for the name and address, if you're giving them something of real value, is fine. But asking for their name and phone number or email or their blood type, some agents want the blood type for doing a search for doing a search on their IDX website. I personally think it's bonkers. It's crazy
privacy. Yeah, it's an intrusion of privacy. Yeah, and just to recap, I think if I was only sitting down a few times a year, like maybe 10 times, I would be so, I'm not even working once a month because there's 12 months in a year, right? Like calling someone and looking for business is not the same as interviewing for business. And so I just want to be ready. So I'm constantly practicing.
So you're on your fifth, sixth year now. I think the other thing, a lot of agents, it doesn't happen. I know the interviews I watched that you, I think one of the interviews you went in about a bit about your private life, that you got married, you moved away from the area, it didn't work. You came back to Arizona. Are you getting people referring you now? Are you getting clients coming back to you? Because I think the average period somebody stays in a house is 5 to 7 years.
Yeah.
And it varies between the area. But so many agents don't get any repeat business. When I last looked at the figures, it was quite staggering. And I would be alarmed at that if I didn't get any referral or any repeat business.
You're right. It's a very hard way to live. With referrals, I've seen a lot of referrals. This year was the largest year, but I imagine I'll constantly be saying that every year, because the longer you're in the business, the more people know you. My coach, he's going to sell about 175 homes this year in Virginia. So I'm trying to become, I want to mentor with someone over me. And he says, you need to categorize people. You know, there's drivers of, there's personalities. There's drivers where they're direct, they're straight to the point. I don't care what you're going to do to sell the house. I just want it sold. That's the one personality. There's another personality that we'll probably meet for 2 or 3 hours and talk about their kids and their life and what they're excited about doing. And that's fun too. It's just so different. And so I've learned to speak to people in their language. So if I speak to a driver for 2 or 3 hours, he's going to be kicking me out the door and never hire me because you're wasting my time. Let's get going. When you follow up with people, it's the same thing. So the driver, I'll call him, every 60 or 90 days, just update him. Hey, Bill, your Dan and Lisa just sold the house across the street for 605. I don't think you're ready. Just curious. Just wanted to see if you cared. Oh, I don't care. Perfect. And then is there anything in the world I can do for you right now? Nope. Okay. And I hang up, and to anyone else, that would have sounded like a pretty rude call.
Because that's probably, I think you're so right about this, because I'm probably one of those people that will not have a long conversation, but I actually will think better of you. You will get a star that you actually bothered. I will think something highly of you, even though I'm not the type that probably spend an hour telling you my woes.
No. And there's some days that it's hard for me to have that conversation because they want to and I don't. But all those types of people, they refer me. And so 4 or 5 times a year, I'll send them a piece of, something in the mail showing them how I'm doing. Not number one agent, but Bill and Mary just sold their house in Mesa. Tom and Susan were in Phoenix, and tell them some of the whys. They like the stories. And then every two or three months, I'm reaching out to them and I'm just saying hi and seeing how they're doing. And it's not salesy. I can't do the salesy. How are your kids? How's your dog? I just talk to them about things that I actually care about them. So I usually ask them what they're excited for coming up this year, what they're stressed about right now, and if there's anything in the world I can do to fix those things on non-real estate. Sometimes they take me up on it, but, sometimes they say, no, it's not appropriate. I'll hire you for real estate in the future and you can keep calling. But so everyone's so different, but I've been taught that no one calls their clients past the day they sell the house to get paid. Nobody calls them again, but they do get upset if they find out that person doesn't use them in the future. But that doesn't seem fair to me. You have to stay in contact. So,
yeah, I think it's finding that. I think some people, especially the coaching that they're part of, there are some methodologies that really want utilize a CRM and send them a card on their birthdays, and it's constant.
And yeah.
I find that, and I think because I originally come from the UK, I find that a little bit nauseating, to be truthful. But on the other hand, I think not contacting, not ringing up previous clientele is also delusionary as well. I think there's a happy medium. Absolutely. And I think it's very linked to what your foresight is, your insight is, that you're dealing with very different types of people and they have very different approaches. But I'm probably not somebody that I might have a 10, 15 minute chat with you. But I actually,
someone that would appreciate.
But you will get higher marks, and it will be in my memory bank. And if I'm buying another property or selling my main property, you will be in my mind. And I think a lot of people don't understand that because they don't get an instant response, an instant sell, an instant lead. Doesn't mean that it hasn't been worthwhile time spent. It's been a great discussion, actually. I really enjoyed it. Maybe sometime next year you'll come back and Robert will be here to interrogate you about your monthly sales targets. What's the best way for people to find out more about you and what you're up to, Sammy?
I always say, you know, realtors are the least private people in the world. So if you Google this name right here, a whole lot comes up. Other than that, feel free to just reach out to me. It's 919-454-6482. And then I'm on Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Not a huge social media guy, but I do like posting the stories of my clients from time to time, and more of a phone call guy. So just reach out if you need me.
That's fantastic. And like I said, if you need a website, don't listen to Sammy because you do.
That's right. I have a pretty sharp website.
I personally think because of your personality type, you could do a lot more with it. I think you're missing the opportunity there. But I would say that. But I actually do believe that because you've got a very engaging personality. But if you're looking for a great website and a great CRM and other functionality, go over to mel-wright.com. You can book a free chat with me on the website. I'd be more than happy to just have a chat with you and maybe show you some of the functionality. I'm not talking to you, Sammy. I'm giving up. I'm talking to the audience, Jen.
I might do it
too. I won't hold it against you. We will be back next week. I think we've got another guest as well next week. I'll have to check. But it'll either be another great conversation like this or me and Robert talking about some subject that will educate you and help you become a more successful real estate agent. We will be back soon, folks. Bye.